Welcome to episode 2 of From the Showring to Your Kitchen Table. On today's episode, we will discuss the selection process that goes into choosing the animals and the regulations that affect the sellers and consumers in regards to swine. Later in the episode, I will have on Niliana Gomez, a former FFA member who will talk about choosing a feeding program, and Mallory Holmes, a consumer who will weigh in on what affects her decision of the meat she purchases. Let's jump right into today's episode. According to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, pork is the most consumed meat globally. So where does it all begin? Mostly it begins in the selection process of the correct sow and boar. This process can be tedious due to the various boars out on the market and the various breeders that have vastly different sows. But ultimately, when choosing an animal, you want a structurally correct animal that moves easily with a smoothness to walk gracefully around the ring. You are also looking for an animal that is heavily muscled, has depth of body, a wide chest floor, and one that handles their condition well. Once you have chosen your animal and what you want to breed, you will then move into the farrowing process. Once the pig has been born, you will begin to see the vast differences that each animal has trait-wise. From there, breeders will begin to choose which animals will go to the show pigs, which animals will be breeding pieces, and those that do not meet the qualifications for either. The piglets that are show pigs will then be placed for private sale or go into an auction. From there, the animals will go to the youth who are going to raise them for approximately the next 9 months. To shed light on a feeding program, I have Niliana Gomez, who will be discussing ideal feeding programs. Welcome to the show, From the Show Ring to Your Kitchen Table, Nelly. What would you say is an ideal feeding program that you used during your time showing pigs?
There are many factors that play a role in getting a pig ready for show. These include environment, the health of the animal, the gender depending if it is a burro or a gilt, and the age of the animal. The most crucial aspect, however, is access to feed and water at all times. Typically, your feed program differs in regards to the weight of the animal. Typically, you will feed a pig anywhere from 5 to 7 pounds of feed per day. You will also place piglets a full feed from time or purchase or weaning until the day that the animals are shown. Generally, once your pig weights about 150 to 200 pounds, you will no longer add in top dressing sources such as additional protein, vitamins, or minerals in order to support your animal, as adding in these feedstuffs could cause extra conditions that is not needed to the pig. One of the most common feedstuffs used on pigs is soybean meal, as it supplies pigs with essential amino acids that are needed to perform at a high level. During my time showing, we used Producer's Power Pig Starter 3050 and Power Pig Extreme 16. High octane depth charge and high octane fitter 35. The feed that you use is completely up to the desired traits that you want, and you should consult your breeder, county extension agent, or FFA advisor for any additional information in regards to help with a feeding program.
Thank you, Nelly, for coming on to our podcast From the Show Ring to Your Kitchen Table to shed light on a feeding program. With that being said, with pork being the number one consumed meat in the world, it is crucial that we have a large supply of it readily available. However, we all know how expensive it can be. Ultimately, it comes out far cheaper to purchase from a local 4-H or FFA student that did not make the sale at their local county fair, or that did and you can purchase it out of the sale. Not only are you purchasing pork for far cheaper, you are also supporting kids' future projects. To gain perspective on the cost from a consumer perspective, Mallory Holmes is here to shed light on her take regarding the cost. Thank you for joining us today, Mallory.
We as consumers have seen a substantial rise in cost in recent years. The average price for 24 ounces of bacon in 2023 was $6.77, compared to in March of 2024, it was $8.83. However, in 2020, you could go to my local county fair and buy a pig for around $3,000. And as of 2024, you could still purchase a pig from under the barn for remotely the same cost. As prices in the grocery store rise, the price that kids involved in livestock is holding steady, and in some cases is actually dropping. If you were to have a family of four with the average American consuming 18 pounds of bacon each year, you would spend roughly $504 on strictly bacon, not considering the other pork that you buy. If you are able to have the space and save the money, it comes out to much more affordable to buy a whole pig that you can eat for multiple years as opposed to spending roughly the same costly yearly on the total pork that you purchase.
With raising pork, there are various regulations and classifications. The USDA has broken down the Corcus grading into 5 Corcus grades. You will receive premiums for being in the higher grades, and this is what people strive for. However, not everyone can reach the top 2 or 3 grades. Grade 1 is acceptable quality of lean and belly thickness and a higher expected yield of 4 lean cuts. Grade 2 is an acceptable quality of lean and belly thickness and average yield of 4 lean cuts. Grade 3 is acceptable quality of lean and belly thickness and slightly narrow expected yield of 4 lean cuts. Grade 4 has an acceptable quality of lean and belly thickness and is a low expected yield of 4 lean cuts. Grade 5 is all Corcuses are unacceptable quality of lean or belly thickness and will be graded as U.S. utility regardless of their degree of muscling or back fat thickness over the last rib. Because of the regulations that are put in place, there are strict standards that producers must keep up to not only reach their intended grades, but many times in hopes of surpassing them. One of the biggest challenges that pig farmers face is the concern over the treatment of their animals. In recent years, pork raising has become a huge topic that PETA focuses on due to the way that it's in which sows are treated prior and during the time they are raising their piglets. While the pictures look as though the animal is being harmed, it is quite the opposite. Both the sow and the piglets are safe, and this is why farmers use this practice. Without the farrowing cages, the sows would likely kill the piglets, stepping on them. This ultimately creates a safe environment for the sow and the piglets, where the piglets have the best possible chance at life. There have been many studies conducted on this topic, and all have found that it is safe and ethical practice that does not cause any harm to the sow or any developmental delays to the piglets. PETA has gone as far as attending shows dressed as pigs, holding signs, throwing items at trailers, carrying the animals, and have caused many unsafe and stressful situations for the people and the animals that are far more stressful than the time when they are farrowing. It is crucial that people remain educated about the pork industry in order for the farmers to keep up their livelihoods and provide food for people in the world that still consume pork on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. While what many see as harm is actually helpful, and we as people must educate those that are uneducated in this topic. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of From the Show Ring to Your Kitchen Table. Keep in mind, as you move throughout your day, that you need a farmer 3 times a day. Support local farmers and ranchers by eating local and buying local products. I'll see you next time on From the Show Ring to Your Kitchen Table.